This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Well, there's a lot going on right now in the studio somewhere, here, there, everywhere. We are back.
Oh my God.
It's going to be hour three. Oh, where the hell did that shot that I just made? Hang on, we got this up. We're going to try different shots. I'm just going to play around with things.
To incorporate
me.
So you can see all the crap that's on the table.
I think that one makes me look taller.
Sure. I like that every part of my head is shiny.
You appear well moisturized.
Thank
you. Yeah, we'll go with that.
I can't tell you why, but I am.
Could just be sweat.
No, it's from inside.
Yeah.
This is funny. Look at the medical bracelet.
The medical bracelet says, delete my browser history.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
Sure
that
is
funny. You know, everybody needs a good browser buddy.
In this segment, we're going to listen to Al talk about some entertainment stuff and take up a whole nother hour.
Well, my promise to make this a short section is probably a lie based on our
37 years of history.
No, based on our 13. You bitches.
Oh, see?
That's my hot sauce.
See?
That's my hot sauce.
See?
No. Because I think all of us are watching the last show that we're talking about. But the first thing we have to talk about is the Linda Ronstadt. So Linda Ronstadt, Parkinson's disease diagnosis recently.
Sad.
Says she noticed in about 2000 that there was something wrong with her voice. And in her mind, she was screaming. She was no longer singing. She was not happy with her voice. And then a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, just said that it she just can't do it anymore. Like, she's physically unable to sing. And there's
sad.
And it turns out, which I didn't know about the lady with the trick pussy, because if you've studied the world of the lady Ronstadt, she has been, so many people are in love with her. So many people have given up fortunes and fame and
all
careers and runs for presidency over her. But it turns out she keeps pretty in the background. And I didn't realize that I've gone my whole life without ever once seeing a Linda Ronstadt interview.
Interesting.
And I didn't realize it until I watched a Linda Ronstadt interview, and I thought, I don't know what she sounds like.
Was this the one on CBS?
This morning, where she talks about the disease and the disease process, and like she's not afraid of dying, she's afraid of suffering, and blah, 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 and very,
smart.
Like, just very candid, very frank. It was a very nice interview. Well, then, of course, the YouTube leads you gently down the hole, the rabbit hole. And there was one from the 70s, and it said very rare to find an interview of Linda Ronstadt from the 70s, which I sent to all of you, but of course you didn't watch it. But she did this really candid interview in the 70s with someone who I know that I know if he would just wash his goddamn hair, it might be Bradley Cooper. Because that was the issue. It was like some dirty fucking foreign guy that was doing the interview.
It might have been Bradley Cooper.
So it was like 78, 79, somewhere in there. And she is just sitting on a couch talking about the fact that she doesn't have a home because she's been on the road for so many years. She has nowhere to live. She's basically homeless. Isn't that funny? And then she gives all the credit to for her success and everything to the troubadour. And she is so just humble. I sent it to you too. You should not be acting shocked. So humble through the whole interview about like, yeah, I met Glenn Frey there, and it turns out he's this great musician. He's really good. So I gave him a job in my band, and he made some money, and that way he could live. And then one day we were walking through the club, and I heard this guy, Don Henley, that played the drums.
This
and
is
I
the
thought,
Eagles
well,
connection.
He's really good. So I gave him a job in my band. She discovered every fucking person from the LA music scene.
Right.
And at some point, they all toured in her band. They're not in love with her because of anything strange. They're in love with her because she fed them.
She launched
this
their career.
This is the story of a puppy, of a stray cat getting fed. That's why they're all in love with her. And she wasn't like, oh, I discovered Don Henley. He was playing at this club that I went to all the time. And she was like, I don't know. I think I'm a good singer, but they're all stoned. I can't tell. I mean, it was so, and her tone
she's
is so.
She has a lot of humility.
Oh, my God. Not a lot. She's just humble. Like it's just filled with like
I
was
this,
just at
this,
and she was giving all the credit to the guy that ran the club and what a great club he ran. And but the fact that all these people she was talking about,
I wonder if she knew Stevie Nicks. That crowd.
They didn't because Stevie Nicks is from here, and she was her own band. She was Nicks and Buckingham
you know, that
and
whole
Knicks.
California.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they ran into each other, but they had their
Ronstadt's
own start.
From Tucson.
She's from Tucson.
Right, so
she talks about leaving Tucson and going to L.A., and she was like, we had no plan. And she talked, and she was like, "Why did the Stone Ponies break up?" She's like, "Well, one guy became a hippie, and he wanted to go and find out about stuff, and the other one decided he could only write songs, so he's a great songwriter." And they were saying, "Like, well, how do these songs come to you?" And she's like, "They're just from my perspective." She's like, "I've been living with this guy, and we have terrible fights, but he writes songs about the fight, so that's what they are."
Oh,
wow!
Another story.
Yeah, and it was—I mean, it's just. And nothing about, like, the greatest voice of a generation, like, and just the and the microphone that they often use for Donna Summer that I was so pissed off to find out was invented for Linda goddamn Ronstadt, that oral exciter or whatever it's called, where you stand back and you sound like seven people.
Mm-hmm. Sounds dirty, too.
That I know, this
sound
very
really dirty.
Aural, like A-U-R-A-L, yeah. Not aural. Wait, I'm doing that backwards.
You
my
did
accent.
That backwards.
So, but really, I mean, go down, and it's a very short rabbit hole, because aside from performances from her, there are only like three or four interviews yeah. over the generations.
The only interview
with
I ever
Linda
saw
Ronstadt.
With her was on The Tonight Show. It's the only time I've ever seen her interviewed other than this one, and it was when she was doing the Nelson Riddle
thing.
Right.
And she was promoting that.
Album.
Oh, I own all three. It's good. So good. And I
just
also
gently
love
strokes
that,
the American Songbook and makes it better.
Exactly.
The opposite of what Rod Stewart
I was just going to say
and
that.
And she's a true, mm-hmm. you can tell she's like a true, in that interview, true musician, because they were asking her about it. And she said, you know, it's like the hardest thing I've ever done. She said the arrangements are so difficult. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she really, like, talked about that. But think about all the different things she did. Then she did the ones.
She did the Canciones de Mis Padres.
Thank you. I was going to try to say that. And then the trio.
Which is the we talk about that after the Gold Rush, and I stumbled
so
across that third.
And none of those were, I think, why I respect her is not any of those were predicted to be any great musical, like, I mean, financial, like,
she kind
mother
of
load.
Did because
she just
them.
Did exactly. Huh. So and not only humility, integrity.
Yeah, and but the After the Gold Rush song,
I want to marry
Dolly Parton sings the lead on that song. That is a Dolly Parton vocal mm-hmm. where she is just doing the harmony. And then what Emmylou Harris, when you finally realize what that noise is in the background next to the glass harp or harmonica, I think it's a mm-hmm. glass harp, that other noise you're hearing, that lovely, lovely sound, is a vocalization by Emmylou Harris. Like, she's not singing the lyrics. She's just doing a little vocalizing that matches the glass, blah, 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 the glass hoo-ha.
It's a harp.
Is it a glass harp?
Also called musical glass. Singing
yes.
Singing glass.
And they show it because, okay, the other
fiddle.
Savant in the room that nobody ever talks about is that Paul fucking Schaefer. Mm-hmm. That motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Now he's right. It's Raining Men.
Super talented.
He can do anything.
Who's been everywhere. Paul Schaefer mm-hmm. has been everywhere.
That's everywhere. True. He wrote It's Raining Men.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. He's been everywhere.
I feel like you're queuing up something.
Mm. This is that.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come saying something about a queen.
That's that gold song.
There were peasants singing.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. It's three goals. I'm talking over it because we won't get dinged if
right.
we keep talking over
get
it.
Sued.
And it's a Neil Young song, and Neil Young writes beautiful, beautiful songs that everyone covers. And I know the song by Neil Young. It's from that list of like songs about the ecology back for like the last song on the Long Run, the Paradise Lost or whatever it's called, the last song on Hotel California. That gorgeous, gorgeous song. It's from that era of like the 70s where everybody was doing their, you know, pave paradise and put up a parking lot, their own version of Big Yellow Taxi. So I know this song from back in the day, and I seriously cried every time I heard it. I could not. And if you watch the video and when you see what Emmylou Harris is doing, because she's not singing the lyrics, she's making that noise you're hearing. She's doing this vocalization on top of these harmonies. It's like, what the fuck? Who are these people? Gorgeous. Yeah. And I just love to. It's kind of like when you watch a movie about the space rates. Like, you're just so excited when people, smart people doing smart things, or truly talented
creative
people living
people,
up
right.
to all of their potential.
I couldn't agree. When you see truly creative people like hitting their zone, it's like so moving.
Yeah, and this video is just, if you get a chance, just, I don't know, smoke a joint, drink a glass of wine. If you got them, do it, and just put your big headphones on like we have. And just revel in three beautifully talented women and Paul Schaefer in the band. Because they don't bring in somebody else. They use the Paul Schaefer, and they fucking found Ben Franklin's goddamn glass harp. I don't know if it's his, but they mentioned Ben Franklin like twice.
There's an interview with Catherine O'Hare from Schitt's Creek, among other things. And she talks about she was in an interview talking about when they started and they all grouped together and how Eugene Levy and her and blah, blah, blah. And they were rattling off all the people in their group, and fucking Paul Schaefer was with them when they started.
Like, yeah, because Canadian,
right.
And you could see him being an improv musician who could like play
anything.
Yeah, who could like play something to make them funny.
Bam!
Do it live. We'll do it live. So we're gonna go with Girl Power next. Goodbye, Meow Cal, and all your variations.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
You are truly funny, dear.
Meow Cal, you are just my favorite.
And I'm
sorry to everybody else. Not that you're not, but that was fantastic.
And I don't care if I go see a fake person in St. Petersburg. I'm going.
I'm going. I'm
fucking going. So then we're going to talk about girl power and
but
writing.
But you've been in our heart the whole time.
Exactly. For a very, very special lady power episode of the Game of Thrones.
Listen.
They got me hook, line, and sinker. They beat me about
you
the
so
ears, eyes,
now.
And throat. It's been a couple years. And because when they left the old white guy that wrote it, it went super girl power and the costumes phenomenal.
All of a sudden, they started killing off the problem characters. They lost all of the raping.
All the raping.
Raping is gone.
And it just turned into girl power. And all of a sudden, this girl who's been through everything that people are like, I don't like her. She was a child. She was like 13 years old. Now she's a grown-ass fucking woman and running shit. And she won a war. So just keep that in your pocket. But they had possibly my favorite episode of television I've ever seen, but we're going to go with
That's
my favorite episode of this show. She came in season 2, Brienne of Tarth,
mm-hmm.
and they just had a really lovely moment where you have to take a beat. You know big shit is coming. You know we're going to have dragons fighting and dead people and walkers and all this shit is
it
coming.
It was very much the goodbye show.
But it's a very character-driven show, as The Walking Dead was the first 3 seasons before it turned into whatever the fuck's going on over there.
Right.
But to take a beat, now when you have, like, you're at the end of the rope, you have to get stuff done, you could easily make 6 episodes of dragons burning up people alive, and everyone would be happy. But no. We've been following these characters, and they get Brienne of Tarth, and the show is called The Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, and I wept like I knew her.
So
I mean, it wasn't just crying. It was like one of those things where, like, my face is wet. What is happening? Beautiful, beautiful moment. Very girl power. And when they ask, when he says, you're not a knight. And then the guy goes, well, why aren't you a knight? She's like, women can't be knights. Why? Tradition. Fuck tradition. And then they're like, a knight can make another knight. We do not need a king or queen here. We can just give it to you. And so you have this beautiful moment of knighting this woman who's been like the hero of the story. And it was so... It was in a show that has dragons and dead people walking and like huge battles, to have this little tiny moment by the fire of just acknowledging this woman's contribution to the battle they've been fighting in this very quiet, underdone moment.
Yeah.
Where like I almost stood up. I honestly,
and a room full of men taking this moment seriously. Don't cry. Don't do that.
Yeah, I almost stood. Like when Tolman stood up. I almost stood too.
You were fully immersed in that show.
And then Peter Dinklage was like, I was done. I was fucking done. And I'm like, what a beautiful, it was gorgeous. And I watched it 3 times and I don't even know what's happening. Like, I'm not even like trying to, like, I'm not giving any effort to it. It's just so beautifully, it was such a beautiful moment of television. Of just acknowledging this woman's contribution. And, like, she had saved him early. Oh, it's just girl power in the costume. Ah! Yeah. And then I found out that on The Walking Dead, everyone's DVR, AMC, had a glitch.
Oh no.
So the second to last episode, there was a nationwide glitch, which I was out of town and didn't catch. So I watched the second to last episode of the season of The Walking Dead, and I was like, well, that was fucking nothing. But it was called The Calm Before, and the finale was called The Storm. So I thought, it's a 2-parter. Like, that's the cliffhanger they're leaving us on. So I watched The Talking Dead, because they need a talking Game of Thrones.
Sure.
So we don't have to do this.
We have Game of Thrones.
And they're like, okay, we just found out that around the country that something happened with AMC's cable, and you might have missed the last 25 minutes. And I was like,
oh, fuck.
Oh,
wait.
No.
And then they're talking about, like, what a hard episode it was, and how I'm like, get your tissues ready. I'm like, tissues ready? Nothing happened. Well, then I watched it. Oh, my God. But
did you have your tissues ready?
But there was no tears, and you know why? Because they had delegated 3 of those characters to just being female number 5, 6, and 7.
Damn it.
They had no storyline. You're like, who's on this? Like, who's dead? Oh, I don't even care. And I honestly was like, what a difference between the shows that, like, this quiet moment by a fire that really has nothing to do with anything was so moving and emotional because you're so invested in the character play. And then on The Walking Dead, where you used to be invested, now they killed off, like, eight people. And you're like, which ones again? Like, okay, show me in memoriam. I don't even care.
In memoriam.
And then I read, no, they do. On The Talking Dead, they have an in memoriam, and they show you everyone that dies. And if it's a big death, then they do, a little statement. And I used to, like, get real emotional during that. But this time I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. She's still on the show. And then I read an interview with the one girl, because I was like, well, they kind of left her storyline behind. And her thing was just survive somehow. She has JSS tattooed on her arm. And it's just survive somehow. And she lives through everything. So you're like, the girl who had JSS on her arm, you're not even going to show her, like, fighting to the end. Like, you're not even going to give her the dignity of, like, a good death. You know what I mean? Because if you're an actor on TV and they're killing off your character, you want a good death. Like, make it exciting. But right. So the girl who had just survived somehow became female number six. Like, and she gave an interview. Clearly, she's a little bitter about, like, the way the show turned out. And she was like, yeah, I became somebody's love interest. That's boring. My last three episodes on the show, I was a girlfriend. And I was like, God bless you for saying it out loud. Like, you need to say back to those writers, like, if you just became the girlfriend and you're a main character, no. No. Michelle Pfeiffer did that in one movie, and then it turned out to be a horror movie, and she was the killer.
Did those checks still cash?
It doesn't matter, though. Like, we just cannot have any more of these playing the girl.
No, but I'm just saying, when she was assigned the role, she didn't stop cashing her checks.
Right. But at the beginning, it was a great job, and at the end, you just show up. Like, you have to be valued where you work.
Like a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. yes, and then we got to find that goddamn picture. So it turns out the one that plays Brianna Tarth is startlingly tall. I think she's like 6'3 or 6'4. Gorgeous. And it turns out she was a big supermodel that everybody knew about. She's a model for a couple different big brands. And then got cast on the show and became, like, worldwide famous outside of, like, print and stuff like that. So she went to the season 8 premiere, Gwendolyn Christie. And her picture from the season premiere, she is an absolutely gorgeous woman. And the first time I saw that picture, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Because not a stitch of makeup. She does not wear a stitch of makeup, and she just slicks her blonde hair back. But she That's is great. Like...
In the fire dress?
Yes. No?
Yeah, which one are you looking for?
That one's not slicked.
Because there's...
Oh, no.
There's one dress that looks like fire.
Which one?
Oh, and the silver sparkly one?
Tell me what...
Yeah, I'll find it for you. But anyways, we'll find it. So...
Wow, I wouldn't. That's not who I thought it would be. In her armor, and she's in a gold. She's in a gold dress.
Yeah, let me see where I forwarded it to.
She doesn't need to smile on the show again, though. That was.
Oh, but the best thing was when she held back tears.
Yeah.
Like the holding back of tears. I know who I sent it to. Hold on. I'll find it and send it to you.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
You know what you did.
Because when I sent him the picture, he's like,
I know
who the
what
fuck?
You did last
He's like,
Sunday.
Who the fuck is that? Do I know this person? And I was like, she's Brianna of Tarth. So that's my thing. It's just the difference between the shows of, like, writing for women. And Game of Thrones has a fucking female showrunner. Like, she should know better. You shouldn't be doing that shit.
You mean The Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead has a female showrunner. No, I'm never going
to
find it.
I've never found The Walking Dead to be especially feminist, though. Like, it's always been just kind of like damsels in distress. Like, there haven't been a ton of strong females on that show.
Seasons 2, 3, and 4 is all girl power. And then they just kind of... Yeah. Then Negan came on. Yeah. An actor I liked. So then we'll finish this up. So that was that. So then we talked about this last week, but I was not caught up. Fosse fucking Verdon.
Oh, I still haven't seen it.
So good.
Although I fixed my Cox login problem, so I think I can watch it.
I'm recording it.
Available on demand to get you caught up.
Wait, I think I have to download an FX app.
Here, I gotta find you the picture, because now it's gonna bother me. So everybody just pretend you're doing something.
I am actually doing something.
Yeah. I'm looking up to see if I can watch.
I'm in the listener.
Fosse Verdon over here.
We'll talk after the show.
Yeah, I love it.
And we'll find
Thank
that
you.
Picture.
Upgrade to FX Plus. How do I do that?
Season 8 premiere. I can't remember who made the dress.
Okay, I may have to. What?
Here it is.
What?
Oh no, there it is. All right, I'm sending it to you.
I may have to pay to watch Fosse Verdon.
I recorded it all. You can come and watch it.
It is on. Oh, wait, but there is one good thing about. There is one good thing about The Walking Dead. Just
tell
one.
Me. Just tell me
one good thing.
Just the one good thing.
Tell me all
is that it's on AMC and they have picked up Killing Eve. AMC picked up Killing Eve from BBC America, so they're both broadcasting it. And The Walking Dead for the last three episodes.
Got Killing Eve.
So Netflix gets old stuff. Netflix is not doing new episodes.
Killing Eve got picked up by AMC, and The Walking Dead has been promoting and hyping. Their last three episodes were all just Killing Eve commercials. And The Talking Dead, they actually showed a preview, and I think they might have Talking Eve. Like, I honest to God think, because they have that Chris Hardwick has a show after everything.
All right.
So I just sent you all the picture of Gwendolyn Christie.
But that doesn't show us a comparison of.
Everybody else has seen the show but you. Trust me. Just put up that picture.
I haven't seen it.
So, Fosse Verdon, that first episode, the premiere. Can we just talk about the fact that they directed it in the style? Look at her.
Oh, wow.
Like, this is the manly woman that they've been showing all this time, who it turns out was some fucking supermodel because she's 6'3". Look at that shit. Like, designers are, like, lining up. And she's not, like, some skinny bitch. Like, she is a... She's a woman. She's all woman. Just fantastic.
Very pretty.
Yeah, and it was so funny that my friend that has watched the show obsessively was like, who is this chick? Why are you sending me a picture of a dress? And I'm like...
Was it Matt?
That's Brianna of Tart. No, I don't even start. So,
just checking.
The fact that they had Hal Prince in the first episode of Fosse Verdon, Neil Simon, Neil Simon's wife.
Which I love that part.
All the talk about the backstage stuff, and then directed in the style of Bob Fosse with the quick cuts and the pans of everything and the dance sequences done over and over. Although they do give you the impression that for movies they film a dance sequence once and cut print. No, you need to see that from like every single point
times.
Of view. Yeah, they there's a lot of editing that goes on. Right. But from what I've heard, this week is about the editing of Cabaret. That it turns out that when it comes to dance editing for film, Gwen Verdon was really good at that too.
Okay.
Michelle Williams, phenomenal.
And she's got her mannerisms and the face down.
And they both seem like they can dance. Yeah. Like, Sam Rockwell dance? Because I am fully convinced.
He is so talented.
Yes. I mean, his Oscar's for a questionable role. But
Listen, if Bradley Cooper can learn to not take a shower, I don't see why Sam Rockwell can learn to dance. Can't learn to dance.
Amazing. But, I mean, that was crack, cocaine, Christmas and my birthday wrapped up in one TV show. That
was to figure out how to get to it.
You don't have to convince me. I was riveted by that last episode. And then I like that they do that more auteur thing, like those moments where she's having some, like at the very end of the episode, just having some realization.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting into like really high level filmmaking.
But done in that whole style of like Liza thinking of something and the flashes of everything she's seen. And, the maybe this time. Like, again. Yeah. And you get...
I'm on Cabaret overload, which I'm so happy about. Yeah, I mean, it's coming from all directions.
If you're gonna overload on something, may it please be Cabaret.
Oh, my.
I've heard Life is a Cabaret.
Favorite musical.
Old Chum.
Maybe this
I've heard these things.
So, honest to God, just please and thank you.
Fantastic.
Give me seven more episodes of that.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, All That Jazz from 1979 with Roy Scheider, and it's what got Jessica Lange out of King Kong territory and into serious actress territory. All That Jazz from 1979 is about Bob Fosse directing Lenny, Liza with the Z, and Chicago all at the same time.
Right.
And how he got himself hooked on drugs. Turns out they do have a daughter. Because I never really explored the internet to see if the little girl from All That Jazz really exists in real life. Mm-hmm. She does. She's an executive producer on the show.
Oh, good.
And a dancer. She has danced on Broadway, like her parents. So it turns out that character, and you do not have enough at your show tunes night from All That Jazz. I'll loan it to you if you need it.
That's probably a true story. I don't think I have any.
Yeah, and it's terrific because it opens up to George Benson on Broadway, and they do the whole audition process for Chicago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't tell you it's Chicago. You have to be inside baseball enough to know what play he's talking about.
Right.
But the whole opening number is set to George Benson on Broadway.
Okay.
As they're like the constant cuts. And that's where you get like Bob Fosse directing a movie about Bob Fosse, giving you all the Bob Fosse-isms.
All right.
It's crazy. And then Anne Reinking is playing Anne Reinking because it stays inside baseball as you can, and learning a dance with his daughter because the daughter became friends with Anne Reinking in real life and in the movie. Like, learned to dance from her mother and then found her father's second muse, Anne Reinking, and they... So, can you imagine your three dance instructors are Anne Reinking, Gwen Verdon, and Bob Fosse?
Yeah, wow.
If this girl probably walks down the street with, like, a little thing behind her, you know what I mean? Like... So, that is seriously, like, TV made for Al. I was sitting there last week, no, like, oh, my God, this was my cat porn. So, there you go.
Cat with a C, not me.
Yeah, because cat with a C goes snuzz.
No K cat.
This is
so that's a short entertainment. I thought.
I'll toss back into entertainment. Mm-hmm. When we started this show 7 years ago,
seven and a half years ago,
a 3 hour tour.
Adele, it was actually a 2 hour tour.
Adele got married.
Oh, she did.
Adele and just got
loser
divorced.
Boyfriend.
Really?
I'm so looking forward to this album.
So this album is going to be phenomenal. She's got a kid. She shot a kid out at Cannon. She got rid of the man.
One or two.
I don't remember.
I think they're...
I don't think you understand how that works.
So the next album we're going to get in the next year, I'm going to guess.
It's going to be so good.
Holy smokes.
Ain't nothing like heartbreak.
Yes.
Now wait, so then how old is she? Will it be 30? Or 27?
She just turned 30.
Just turned 30.
Because Entertainment Weekly did a joke about what a great name for an album title 30 was, but wasn't 29, 28, 27, 26. Because wasn't the last one 25?
Yeah. Something like
25,
that.
25, yeah. She was 19, 25.
What did that son of a bitch do?
19, 21, and 25. Somebody,
no. What did that son of a bitch do? Because you know it wasn't Adele.
Well, you know the last time when she won all the awards, Grammy, like seven more Grammy awards again? Somebody, I think... I saw this on Facebook that wasn't like a huge fan, but they were acknowledging. They said it's like she comes out of her cave every like 5 years to swoop all the Grammys, and then she goes back into hiding.
And I do have to say, she was one of those people that when she won, when she got the Grammy over Beyonce, even she said like, "All right, not this album.
Come on, settle down.
That's,
settle down.
That's
settle down.
Beyonce's."
No,
I did appreciate that because I mean I never heard the Beyonce album.
I would give a Grammy to those cat sounds rather than Beyonce. I can't. I have no need for her.
You're not part of the Beehive.
You are so correct.
No.
She's a good.
I like her when she was in Destiny's Child. That's when I liked her.
I don't think it's going to happen.
She has like three songs that are good. The rest of it, like they all lose their mind. And then I guess just was it last week
or
something?
Lose My Breath is fantastic.
They had her Coachella thing from 2 years ago.
Last song
came out, and everybody's been watching it online. And I didn't give two shits about it, but the roommate was all like, "Oh my god, it's on her!" Yeah. So he sat in the living room and watched it while I did stuff online for this show. I mean, you can't tell.
That was time better spent.
But I listened to it in the other room. Like, God, I can't believe would have to sit and watch that. It's horrible to me.
She's a good 60%er of everything she puts out. About 60%, I really
she's
like.
A good voice,
and 40%, I'm like, really,
really.
I wish she'd do more
and
vocal.
I've been saying this for probably since we started the show that she just needs to sit down and Nira. Listen to
Donna Summer.
That's not, no well oh. her too but no from Saturday Night Fever. You Should Be Dancing.
Oh.
Like, learn what a hook is.
Dancing
no not that
no
one.
No
but you're, that's Dance Machine.
Oh, okay.
You should be
that's
dancing.
Just,
no.
Yeah.
But it's got like three different hooks. I got that one down. I did not know the hook from the game show, but.
Yeah, but it's awfully close.
But if you listen, that song should be studied. If you think you're going to be a songwriter, you have to go home and listen to You Should Be Dancing. You Should Be Dancing. And every time you think that song is over, they introduce one more hook. So by the end of it, there's like four things you can hum along with. And you're just never prepared. That is a songwriting.
That's a great song.
I mean, it really is graduate level. So I'd like to say 101, but that song is so far advanced.
Yeah.
But just it's if you like think you're that good.
722.
Exactly. The graduate course. This time it's personal.
722.
Chumbawamba. You know what I mean?
Wow.
No.
That's a thing.
Wow.
No.
We take a whiskey drink, we take a lager drink. Show me the lie.
No.
Show me the lie.
No. First of all,
we've taken all those drinks.
First of all, I've had no whiskey drink today.
That's your fault.
That's yeah. right.
You can't blame Chumbawamba for your
right.
lack.
Right there, in
it's
fact.
A fair point.
Tub thumping.
Probably solve that right now.
Oh. Do you suffer from long-term memory loss? I yes. don't remember. It's the greatest song. It's called Amnesia. I listen to it constantly. It's on my playlist constantly. God. And it's such a good dance song.
Is it before or after the Holly Jolly Christmas?
No, this one I choose. This one I choose on my own. Because they're another band that everybody thinks is a one-hit wonder. Yeah. And that second song, not. Amnesia, was so good. Yeah. And it's dancey and fun. And I love that line. Do you suffer from long-term memory loss? I don't remember.
What was the question?
There was a commercial today about something with side effects and you may suffer memory loss. And I was like, well, memory loss over what? Yeah. Like, am I already on it? What, right. I don't know what
if
I'm
I could remember to take the ginkgo biloba, I wouldn't need the goddamn shit.
Right.
I think it's time to spin the wheel.
What were we talking about?
Huh?
Is it time to spin the wheel?
Yeah.
Sure. On the donkey?
What?
What?
Hi. Are you deaf?
What?
Stop oh. it. Yeah. Stop. All right. It's Kat Carlson's Wheel of the Week, and it goes.
That was so fun.
Here we go. What in the hell do we have?
Oh!
James first Duke ranked. Mason.
First up.
All right.
James so, Duke Mason.
I got to Google. I have no idea who this is.
Who is this?
This was suggested by one
Ms. Ryer.
Marnie Ryer.
Marine Ryer.
Marine Layer. That's the right initials, too. Marine Layer Ryer.
That's true. Very
it's true.
Good.
See?
Very good.
I don't know your name, but I know your initials.
Pray tell, who is James Duke Mason, and why do we care about him?
So James Duke Mason has outed, fairly so, I think. Like, usually I'm not big on the outing of people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
I think I know where this is going.
But ex-Congressman Aaron Schock.
Oh, I love this beyond anything.
Was photographed making out with another man at Coachella.
The video
is here.
So good.
And the pictures are...
Do you guys remember Aaron
Schock? So why do we care about Aaron Schock? Who's Aaron
Schock?
So
the GOP ex-Congressman... whose sexuality was DC's worst kept secret, has been spotted making out with another man at Coachella.
Mm-mm.
Former representative Aaron Schock, who made a splash, you'll probably remember this, made a splash in the nation's capital with his clothing choices, Instagram photos, and interior decorating choices, resigned after
and
being
abs.
Accused. Yes, and abs.
He's got a great
true.
Body.
Resigned after being accused of illegally using campaign funds to finance his over the top lifestyle.
Mm-mm.
Schock was a reliably anti-gay voice for Republicans.
That's the bad part.
Despite the parade of young men who visited his D.C. apartment and his outing by journalist Itay Hodd in 2014. Mm-hmm. Hodd claimed he had walked in on his male roommate and Schock showering together. But the former congressman is back on social media after moving to West Hollywood.
Sure.
For real.
Sure.
Where he's been spotted doing some of the most stereotypical gay things possible.
Brunch.
Hanging out in gay bars.
Brunch.
Posing shirtless with gay fitness. With gay fitness junkies.
Watching Fosse Verdon.
Right.
This says and enjoying quiet dinners with other men, but brunch.
Being photographed with pets.
The casual acceptance of the still closeted lawmaker has irritated many in the community.
Lawmaker.
Who feel he hasn't paid his dues for opposing his own equality.
I agree.
Activist James Duke Mason took to Facebook to share photos of Schock with other gay men at the Coachella Music Festival, posing shirtless and having a gay old time. It says grand old time, but anyway, so what do you guys think
of that? Because she's lawmaker. Well, the best part is that all over Coachella getting photographed is a dickwad.
But have you seen the video?
Oh,
it's so good. So it's super dark. There's even audio.
Are you talking the this
so they're
one?
They're shirtless.
Yeah.
Right
there. So that's Aaron Schock, and his
hands are down this guy's pants.
Yep.
And then the video's only like 10 seconds, and he's saying something like, you know, I'm so turned on, or whatever.
Right.
And it's just...
Who's your designer?
Yeah.
What are you wearing?
Who are you wearing?
What kind of fancy underpants are you wearing?
But I love that he's grabbing some guy's dick.
I know,
and he's
right.
Mr. No. Anti-gay.
Anti-gay everything.
Well, those who usually profess the most are the ones who...
Yeah.
That's right,
but I like that he's getting called out for... And he's like, you don't get to just join the club now
right.
and be gay.
You don't get because, your toaster oven, asshole.
Yeah, no, you don't. Listen, right. Queen Latifah, if you want the water, you got to say water.
Go sit over there with King Jenner a minute. Just go sit down. down.
Same with James Franco. We get it. You like to suck dick, but now we're going to need you. So what he got kicked out of office for was all the money he spent decorating his office to look like Downton Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Like I do remember that.
It was the Downton
Abbey. Yeah, I remember that.
That's what I was waiting for you to say, because we talked about that ad nauseum.
We did.
That's Latin,
and I couldn't think
threw
of
up.
Shit.
Blah. And James Duke Mason says, normally I wouldn't comment on something like this, but I'm just infuriated by these images. A former Republican and anti-gay congressman.
And who denied being gay.
Aaron Schock partying with a group of gay men at Coachella. The fact that he would think he could show his face in public, particularly when he has never renounced or apologized for his vote against gay marriage, gays in the military, and against anti-discrimination laws.
This bitch.
Astounding.
There's the hot sauce.
Entitlement.
My intention isn't to out him or target him personally, but simply to point out the hypocrisy. I saw him at a recent gay social event in West Hollywood and shook his hand before I realized who he was. He should really be ashamed of himself.
The
gays who associate with him,
job for him
without
from
calling him.
Him
out should know better. It's really a disgrace.
It is disgraceful.
So anyway, I was just curious what you guys
this
thought, because the outing kind of thing.
Yeah.
But
no, we can out him.
Really
we can out him.
No, but
we can
isn't
out
he
him.
Really outing himself?
Yeah,
you are doing that
picture is outing yourself.
Right. As and then the lovely fella that got head. I mean, and God bless him for being hung. But the guy that got head on the Ferris wheel.
Mm. Oh, that.
Do you see that video? That's
That's
some spank bang shit.
By him?
For who though? Like,
you combine an amusement park
ride. Consider your audience. For
I
a
got
second.
Busy.
Wait. Aral?
It's Aral.
I got busy on the thing that flies over Disneyland.
Busy.
What's that shit called?
Oh, the monorail?
The aerial cars?
No, the people mover.
It's Aral.
Aral sex.
Not the train, not the monorail?
No, you know, the cars that the most boring ride in the world.
Oh, the Sky Tram or whatever
the fuck
rides. They don't have it anymore.
Okay. I took that once with you, but I don't think you were doing any of that.
I did not give you head during any of that.
Okay, great. Thank you for that clarification.
Right.
That's all.
But it goes on for like 15 minutes, and I was with a hot guy, and I'm like, well, that's what we got to do.
Well, who knew Belinda Carlisle's son would be a hero like that?
Man.
James Duke Mason is the son of Belinda Carlisle.
Really?
And he left her coked up ass.
He also ran this year for WeHo City Council.
I love it.
Yeah, so he's a politician. He's
so
celebrity
he
spawn. Right.
So, wait. Now, didn't her husband direct the Mad About You video? Isn't he a director?
Stand by.
I believe her husband is a director.
And her husband is son of
Alexander
James
Morgan Mason.
Mason
is an American politician, film producer, and actor.
Oh, yeah.
Is son of actor James Mason.
James Mason from...
She married up.
A Star is Born. That's Judy Garland's co-star in A Star is
Born.
Oh,
it is.
He's the one that births the star.
That's right.
Full fucking
and
circle.
And then walks into the ocean.
Circles in the sand.
It's a lazy way to commit suicide.
Very good with the circles in the sand.
You're
sir.
Welcome.
I do appreciate it.
I love her, but she has some of the worst songs in recording.
Really
she
really does.
That.
Yeah.
That circles in the sand makes me wish I was listening to Heaven is a Place on Earth.
And that,
I forgot.
Which that song's horrifying.
I forgot how bad Circles in the Sand is.
Mad About You.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Two thumbs up. Two bumps. Two bumps.
Mad About You.
Oh, yeah.
Two bumps. The roller coaster is two bumps.
Would you rather listen to Belinda Carlisle? I've done this to him before. Belinda Carlisle. Or Wilson Phillips.
Oh, Belinda Carlisle.
There's not one redeeming quality about Wilson Phillips. That is just nails on a chalkboard with cats having sex.
Horrifying.
Like, it's just
like cats
terrible.
Having sex?
Well, she's been playing cat porn all goddamn night.
Spin the wheel.
We're a lot of mileage out of something that we didn't know nothing
spin
about.
Spin the wheel, Belinda Carlisle spawn.
Oh, it's good stuff.
Political potpourri.
Oh, good.
Well,
I thought I smelled something.
I like to put one on there that's just a grab bag, just anything that's bugging you for the week.
Why not?
I was feeling very Jeopardy today, apparently.
I actually have
apparently.
One.
Political
have
potpourri
one.
For 1,000.
Well, Anand brings up a political potpourri. Okay, if you're publicly anti-gay, maybe not put your pants on another person's pants in public.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
That's
fair,
that's
fair point,
fair
well made.
Well made.
Thank you, Anand. Yep. So last night, CNN did town halls with five candidates. I watched Mayor Pete.
Okay.
All
because
of them, yeah.
I love him.
Yep,
I don't want everyone to get mad at me, but CNN is just so irresponsible. In
the, they hired Corey Lewandowski. No one's going to argue with you.
No, that my complaints are with Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper for both buying into horrible questions. So, they had the questions had developed earlier in the evening when Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and so. So there's an issue, and I think also I just took it personally because voter disenfranchisement. Disenfranchisement. Can I get it right? Is a big thing in America. Like, so I'm just going to drop. I'm going to do professor drop knowledge on two things. 1 in 13 African Americans in the United States of America can't vote because of felony convictions, and it was 1 in 4 in Florida. Such a big, huge thing in Florida. When we make fun of Florida, but they in
they got
the
it right.
In they did the whole vote, 70 to 30% vote of the general public to reinstore, you know, the civil rights of people who were these are non-violent. This is important.
And it won across the board.
Won across the board.
Right.
So it started earlier, and it, maybe it was from a stupid question from the audience. I don't know. But they kept it going, and it was just appalling to me. So Don Lemon gets on there with – because, of course, Don Lemon's gay and black, so they have to have him with Kamala Harris. Yeah, and then Anderson Cooper has to be with Mayor Pete, which is also insulting, like, because he's gay, so maybe his questions will be better. They were 5,000 times worse. Yeah. But anyway –
they're both gay.
Asking about. I'm just saying they matched the black guy up with Kamala. They matched the gay guy up with Mayor Pete. It was stupid. I hate when I just hate that kind of pandering. But anyway,
but you have to get. But I will interrupt you one quick second. The fact that there are two gay men.
Oh, that's great.
Holding political interviews.
I wish they could do their jobs better.
Right. Now, so I get we're far enough along the thing that we can have a wish list.
So here's what happened that was just absolutely staggering to me. So then they I know they're trying to get the pithy question. And so they were talking about the voter, the should, Bernie came out and said even people in prison should be able to vote. So that was certainly controversial. That's what stirred it up. And then Don Lemon, and I don't know if it, I don't know if he was repeating it, so I don't know if he originated or it came from somewhere else. And he was like, so you are saying that people who rape and kill people and the Boston bomber should be able to vote. Do you remember that this part?
No, that was not Don Lemon. That was Cutie, Patootie.
Cuomo.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Cuomo, and that was too.
But Don Lemon repeated it to everybody that came after. So everyone had to fall in line and ask this question. And then Anderson Cooper did it with Mayor Beatty. He was like, so what do you think earlier tonight we heard from blah, blah, blah about voting? And also, I actually finally found the first thing I don't like about Mayor Pete. He didn't mention the importance of voter disenfranchisement as a huge issue. He could have talked about Florida, could have talked about all of it. And then Anderson Cooper's like, so you're saying that the Boston bomber should be able to vote? Okay, nobody's fucking saying that. Nobody cares about that. That's
Bernie
not
said.
Important.
Bernie said yes, he should.
But people in prison might be. I'm just saying that's one person.
I'm just telling you that's what happened.
So one person. That's the story that was washing across CNN primetime in America.
Right.
Is that we're advocating the Boston? That's the whole end of the discussion. That's voter disenfranchisement in the country, and that's all we should talk about. I thought I was going to have a fucking stroke last night when that was happening. Missed opportunities on both. Why didn't Anderson fucking Cooper, who covered that, by the way, because I was watching when that happened in the election, why didn't he say, well, you know, in Florida, 1 in 4 people, right, this response, we have to go for the most horrible...
But is it
pandering
saying,
story
is it saying that,
that misrepresents the issue? And everyone in the audience is like, Mayor Pete was like, oh no, we shouldn't do that. And I wanted to die. Everyone was like, oh my God, Mayor Pete's got it right. No, he's got it wrong. Everyone had it wrong. Jake Tapper had it wrong. Don Lemon had it wrong repeating it. And Anderson Cooper, who could have stopped it, had it wrong. And I don't think I'm going to have a stroke right now.
Being able to vote.
That's not the point. The point is using the Boston bomber as the representative of people in prison voting. And but, I disagree. I think people who – the low-level, nonviolent drug offender people who are in there and who are now retroactively being released from prison because of because of California's decriminalization, I think they should be able to vote.
So they are citizens
of the United States of America, many who are victims of mass incarceration from terrible policies like mandatory minimum sentencing and racist-driven policies should not necessarily have their voting – we just disagree – have their voting rights taken away. And I don't think using the Boston bomber to make that point is helping anybody.
No, and it's not.
So what happened, because I watched all of them, was that Bernie
– Thank you, Marnie. No, it's just that you can clarify now.
Yeah, because it was – you are spot on.
You should talk into a microphone.
But it was
that'd be
it
weird.
Was Bernie who kind of came out and said, as far as people being able to vote, mm-hmm. that you can't cherry pick. Basically,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I'm not quoting him, but it was
no,
basically
that's what he said. I saw the clip.
You can't cherry pick, right? And say, but he said all terrible, even terrible people.
Yeah, he did
should
say that.
Be able to vote because you can't. The minute you start saying, well, you did this,
right?
You did this.
He
so
did
we
say
can't.
That. He said terrible, and that's the only thing they ran with.
Right.
He said terrible people should be able to vote. So CNN's all their gear stopped,
right.
And we had to go to the rapist, murderers, whatever. Right. Also, even though he said terrible people should be able to, that doesn't mean that Kamala Harris and Mayor Pete should miss an opportunity to talk about
right.
the hundreds of thousands of people in prison right. who have gotten fucked
sure.
over. No, it has to be the Boston bomber. And then, and so fucking smug. So people who rape people should be. I was like, you've lost your fucking mind.
Yeah.
I can't stand him now.
But it's kind of like the line in Birdcage, taking a thought to its logical but absurd conclusion.
Yeah, sure. Which I like. Normally I like.
Yeah, and that's, yeah.
Normally I like that, but it's
used a lot as like a almost a debate technique when it's not. Like it's,
no.
It's actually just a logical fallacy that gets used over and over again. There is. We have bells. You can ring them.
Yeah.
If I were a gate, I'd be swinging.
Yeah.
Thank you for indulging my freak out. But
no, but that's
all I wanted
part
to
of
say.
The problem. Like, first of all, we've kind of forgotten how to debate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, we have forgotten how to
right.
how to present and defend our argument without having to make a worst case scenario.
Right.
Right.
And take that logical fallacy.
You know why that's also important? Not just for the viewers, but the audience were all students who were going to Harvard and Ivy League schools.
Who also don't know how to debate.
But would have been capable of understanding the concepts presented to them.
Yeah.
And they were not presented.
But if you say everybody,
I teach at ASU, and
everybody
I figured it out.
Votes, then you do have to take it to
while
its...
While they're in prison.
While they're in prison,
then
yeah.
If you're going if you're going to do that, you need to present the other 99% of the issue that matters, which is people are voting rights are being taken away
and
from
I would,
them,
I would
and nobody said that.
I would argue it from the other way.
Nobody
does
mentioned
someone,
that.
Does, I would take it from the other way. Does someone who's... Because then there's the people that are selling drugs that you're like, all right, you're not the same as the person got caught carrying $5 of the drug pot across. You know, New York right. is the worst. The Rockefeller laws are the worst mm-hmm. drug laws on the books, where a mandatory sentence of 25 years, that's the minimum sentence. The Rockefeller laws were the worst ones
mm-hmm.
ever written. And they were for New York State. They were for voter suppression. They were specifically targeted at black people. So any sure. amount of pot, cocaine, heroin, it didn't matter what you had. Any was a 25 year mandatory right. sentence and a felony, and it's addressed in Molly's Game too,
mm-hmm.
where in that movie Molly's Game, where she's talking about with Jessica Chastain, where she runs the poker club, the mm-hmm. high stakes poker club, mm-hmm. and she was like, "And I was convicted okay. of a felony for some reason, I'm no longer allowed to vote in this country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like I didn't kill anybody,
right?
So arguing it from the everyone should get the right to vote, I." Don't think that's the way he should have said it. It would be like, let's not make all these things be felonies where you lose your constitutional right to vote. Having a joint should not be on the same level as the Boston bomber. You shouldn't be in the mm-hmm. same league.
But
unfortunately, you are. So I don't... And I know, I don't want to insult Bernie because I knew you'd get all hot and bothered.
No,
but.
So with 3 hours left in programming, no one found the ability to bring up about the Florida. You know, when the citizens of Florida
I think
are
that the
ahead
issue, though,
of
was
it,
that this was a very light get to know.
Yeah.
Town
yeah.
halls.
Talking about the Boston bomber is not light.
No.
Well, either way.
Sorry.
But
either
I think
way,
no,
it's not.
I would fault Bernie on this one for taking that from the wrong angle.
But I fault CNN for not correcting the record later on and taking the opportunity to mention it.
Guess what I found? The wheel.
Excellent segue.
Oh, my God.
Oh, back to Doug Wilkie.
This was so
do not make this the same segment you just pirated. This better be fucking entertaining and funny.
An old man feeling cute might aspirate a green bean later. I don't know. That was the one that went around the hospital.
So the whole thing about the meme, I just didn't know where it came from. I had to like Google the origin. I didn't, Clayton. And I had to do the whole origin story, and I didn't get it.
Oh, there is an origin story?
There is.
Oh, what is that?
Cat may know it. But the thing,
I mean, there's all those feeling cute, might go to a club later.
Somebody, it was about SpongeBob SquarePants.
Shut up.
Post from 2017. I can't remember.
Okay.
I won't be able to see.
I need to find one so people
right.
who don't know what we're talking about know what we're talking about.
And in it, something about SpongeBob said, he said something about feeling cute. I posted this, and then I don't know. I'm going to like delete it later. The IDK, and so I didn't understand. And then Kat put the funniest thing on our group texting thing on Facebook, Clayton, on Easter. I'm sure you saw.
That was me sending him.
Oh, I thought you sent it, though.
Negative. No, that was me that was doing the feeling cute all days because I made them as offensive
so
as possible.
So then I retract. I bow down to your greatness because that is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
Oh, they
it
were
was
all
Jesus.
Day. Yeah.
And it was so politically incorrect. It was Jesus.
With a little bit of ass showing.
Did you see it? Like, feeling cute.
Yeah.
Might let a couple of Romans nail me later.
Yeah, yes. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was going to die out. That was so funny.
Oh, but the one that started it with us at work was the feeling cute, might inhale it, might aspirate a green bean later.
Oh my God.
Because that was kind of the night we were having. Yes. But it's somebody on social media that does those, that does the feeling cute, might go to the club later, I don't know, might pick up a guy later.
I just thought it was so funny.
Right. It did start in like 2017 on Twitter. Somebody posted a SpongeBob, just an illustration, not even anything from the show, just a kind of a stick figure of somebody from SpongeBob, and it says, might delete soon, but I felt cute in this picture. Probably making fun of all the fucking people that have posted that.
Yeah.
And then it resurfaced again this spring.
Oh my God, and they were everywhere.
It was like a UPS driver, feeling cute, might deliver your package later, I don't know.
So this is one that's very, very mild that I found, but people who will understand. So this is obviously Lady from Lady and the Tramp.
It's a cute one.
Feeling cute, might pick up a tramp later, IDK, which is I don't know.
So there's
just picture after picture where you realize what it is, like it's somebody from whatever movie, I might fly a plane later, I might do something, it's all that stupid shit.
And between the nurse ones with the playing cards and those, we were going nuts all week, and I worked Easter Sunday, so we were going nuts with them, and I would the most offensive ones I was only sharing with you guys. The rest I was like,
you can't
making
that,
general
you can't
share
put that Easter one out.
Oh
there.
My God, might let a couple of Romans nail me later.
All right, here we go.
What we showing his ass.
Remember, if we've already done it, we're gonna spin again.
I'm not familiar.
Six the musical. So this is a British musical, and it has just about everything that I ever wanted in a musical. So it is Henry VIII's wives. And a retelling of their stories.
Interesting.
In a like British chick rock kind of a theme.
Okay.
I know. And so it's popped up on the YouTubes a couple of times because they're doing like British morning shows to promote.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I'm saving an afternoon to like study the cast recording if one exists, and I'm very excited about it. There are two clips out there on the internet so far.
Wow.
I'm in. Six the musical. Ask for it by name.
Divorced, beheaded, dead.
Died. Fantastic. Divorced, beheaded, survived.
Yeah, I'm like, there's
literally lyrics in a song.
Yeah, there's ways to remember that.
Did Lin-Manuel Miranda have anything to do with
it? Yeah. No. Had nothing to do
with
it.
He's
executive
producing.
Too busy.
Yeah.
He's very busy.
And he's part of Fosse Verdon, and Andy Blackenhauer, whatever you say his name, is the choreographer.
God damn it.
And one of the executive producers is the daughter. I think I already said that. Nicole. Sure. Her name was Nicole.
Oh, lovely.
Now I got to watch all the jazz because What's Her Face plays the Angel of Death, and she's gorgeous in it.
All right, let's spin one more and see what we get. No whammies, big money. This bitch.
More Coachella stories.
I only heard the headline and then nothing else.
She got arrested.
Oh. Yeah.
So, short version. First of all, people, you're being recorded all the fucking time.
Everywhere.
So, lady shows up in a fairly recognizable vehicle, dumps some puppies in a dumpster at Coachella. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, is recorded by surveillance. They figure out who the fuck she is. They go, they arrest her. They go in her fucking house. They find 37 dogs.
Oh, no.
That ain't right.
In that goddamn house. Oh. She needs to not ever be able to vote.
Yeah, we can take her voting rights away. Let's take those away.
Fucking Coachella dumpster lady.
That's sick.
God damn it. 37.
Did the puppies live?
Yeah, 37 they got the puppies.
Dogs. Yeah, yeah. They saved all the dogs.
Found them all homes.
Oh.
Uh-huh. So anything to do with terrorism. Puppy terrorism goes in right. That list.
God. And then, and I mean, cunt. And everything in Sri Lanka this weekend has just been crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Speaking of Sri Lanka, and I didn't realize it wasn't on the wheel, but this has been annoying me.
It was
going
to be, but then I took
this has been annoying me for 2 days with MSNBC. I've decided they have a new copywriter because Chris Matthews has done it, and this morning Andrea Mitchell did it. Somebody keeps typing Sri Lanka because they keep saying it. And you know that those two people know exactly what Sri Lanka is.
Yeah.
But I'm certain because Andrea Mitchell stumbled and then said it, but you know somebody is typing Sri Lanka.
Yeah,
Syria. So the problem is that they're typing using devices that use an autocorrect
or something to that effect,
and they're not catching the autocorrect.
And they're also too stupid to know. But
they're not even proofing their own copy. Whoever's typing it, and it's just driving me nuts.
Speaking of copy, Marianne Williamson is running for president.
I love poor Chiron. Yeah. Who the fuck is Marianne Williamson?
Exactly.
Makes case for his presidential run.
His
presidential run. Sure. Marianne Williamson, because
only men can do things.
The gal who writes
she was on The View briefly.
Oprah loved her. She's very touchy feely counselor.
Yeah, therapy. Very touchy feely.
That picture went with.
I'm not voting for her.
Oprah promotes her all the time.
Sorry. No, I'm just telling
not
you.
Who I've seen.
Anyway, but not I just thought I it was great of. Going with putting the wrong things.
Yeah,
just
the copy's so bad.
That's why it has to be what it is.
His.
Well, I think it's really young people, too. They don't spell as well. They're using the autocorrect. Right. And they also just don't know things. Like,
could be.
Even if you're using the autocorrect or whatever, you should know that Sri Lanka is a place.
Right. Right.
And so
not
their
sir.
Education
he's
is
not a, not a leader
stopping
of a country.
Them from knowing that.
He wasn't recently knighted with Brianna Tarth.
And no matter how you spell it,
in a lovely ceremony by a fire.
And in a lighter, note of copy, it's a Mark Martinez, one of my favorite stories he told about Linda Williams, who I like a lot. But he's like, she phones that shit in. Like, she gets
100%.
There. Like, Mark's like, when they were doing weekends together, he's like, we've been here all day, whatever. She rolls in like 1 minute before they go on air and leaves 1 minute after and does none of that. You're supposed to read all
He reads all his copy.
Oh, she doesn't read any of it.
No.
So
you can tell.
There's a golfer from Spain. This was years ago. And his name is Seve, S-E-V-E, Ballesteros. So Seve Ballesteros. And he was pretty big deal. And he won, like, the Masters or whatever. And it was a big thing. He won it at an advanced age. So that's why it made news. And so they kicked her. And she just, because she doesn't, Mark was like, I almost fell out of my chair. She's going through and she's like, oh, and Masters winner, Steve Ballesteros.
Ballesteros?
Ballesteros. Okay. Steve, not Seve. Steve. Oh, she added a T. Steve.
I didn't even go there. Name.
Steve Ballesteros. Oh, my God.
And then Mark would always have to be like, I think it's pronounced Seve.
Yeah, exactly.
The way he would casually,
she didn't even care.
No, she didn't care.
Like, oh, she never cared.
No, the ink is dry on her contract. She don't care at all.
Exactly. The only thing she would ever do is if I would like text and be like, her wig's on crooked.
Right. Occasionally it
and
was.
It's always funny how he will actually, if I happen to ever catch him, but I text him in between commercial breaks, he actually responds in between the commercial breaks.
He always does.
Cracks me up.
That's so funny that you said that. I've never texted him while he was on air, except when he did that news that's at 7 o'clock on the other channel on 45.
Oh,
it's really, on KUTP, Fox does an hour segment, an hour of local news. It's really good, actually, with Mark and this other woman.
Oh.
They have great chemistry.
What's happening?
Oh, wow.
There's a silver alert.
There's an old person missing. It's not me.
Actually, you should check it out.
We should check on all of our friends.
It's on every night at 7, from 7 to 8.
Lewis Brooks
on 45. It's called
Jr.
Fox News Extra.
Okay.
And it's actually really good. I never have time to watch it while I'm teaching, but in the summer, I watched it all last summer, and I'll watch it again. He's really, really good with her. And it's an hour, so I like it. They do the serious, they do the light, but with an hour, you get more. So I was surprised how much I actually liked it, and so I had never so I thought I'm just going to send him a message on Facebook, and you know he'll get it after the thing. So I was like, you know, Mark, this is so good, the chemistry is so rare. And I looked down and he's like real timing me, so I didn't know that was I knew you guys did it, but it was the first time I was like,
I was
wait,
surprised
aren't you
too.
Supposed to be on the news? He's like, it's a commercial, we're good.
Yeah,
and he was like this the whole
totally
time,
totally surprised about. Just like this show. People text us while we're on the air. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
I'm texting my sister.
Yeah, it happens.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't hurt anything.
She sent me vacation money. I said, thank you.
Well, again, everybody, congratulations. We completed 7 years.
7 years. Wow. Did you even talk about that in the first hour?
No. We got it was the first hour.
Okay.
We did a lot without that.
All right. Yeah.
First hour, about how many shows, how many weeks we didn't do shows. We average 6 weeks off a year.
That's a good vacation schedule.
For, I mean, for our pay rate, I think it works pretty good.
Exactly.
Thank you to everybody in the chat room who was all there talking to us and at us, and for the card from Russia.
Yes.
Al will be gone most of next year on an excursion to Russia.
Finland first. I got to pick up Nara.
Finland first.
Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
I gotta tell you, I'm a Yelper, and you're not gonna get a good review.